Samadhanam
Dhatmanam
Svadhisthyanam Ekadeshe
Svadhisthyanam Ekadeshe
Manasa Pranatharanam
Manasa Pranatharanam
Vaikuntha Lila Vidhyanam
Vaikuntha Lila Vidhyanam
Samadhanam Dhatmanam
Samadhanam Dhatmanam
Svadhisthyanam within the vital air circles.
Within the vital air circles.
Ekadeshe.
Ekadeshe.
In one spot.
In one spot.
Manasa.
Manasa.
With the mind.
With the mind.
Prana.
Prana.
The vital air.
The vital air.
Dharanam.
Dharanam.
Fixing.
Fixing.
Vaikuntha-lila.
Vaikuntha-lila.
Pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
On the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vidhyanam.
Vidhyanam.
Concentration.
Concentration.
Samadhanam.
Samadhanam.
Samadhi.
Samadhi.
Tada.
Tada.
Thus.
Thus.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Of the mind.
Of the mind.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Fixing the vital air and the mind in one of the six circles of vital air circulation within the body, thus concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called samadhi, or samadhana, mind, purport. There are six circles of vital air circulation within the body. The first circle is within the belly. The second circle is in the area of the heart. The third is in the area of the lungs. The fourth is on the palate. The fifth is between the eyebrows. And the highest, the sixth circle, is above the brain. One has to fix his mind and his circulation of the vital air, and thus think of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It is never mentioned that one should concentrate on the impersonal void. It is clearly stated by Kunta Lila. Lila means pastimes. Unless the Absolute Truth and Personality of God has transcendental activities, where is the scope for thinking of these pastimes? It is true, the processes of devotional service, chanting and hearing of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one can achieve this concentration. As described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord appears and disappears according to his relationships with different devotees. The Vedic literatures contain many narrations of the Lord's pastimes, including the Battle of Kurukshetra, and historical facts relating to the life and precepts of devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj. One need only concentrate his mind on one such narration and become always absorbed in its thought. Then he will be in samadhi. Samadhi is not an artificial bodily state. It is the state achieved when the mind is virtually absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Jnanata Varandasya Maranjana Sarakaya Taksar Surya Tamena Asma Shri Rave Numa Kukum Kudvata Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaya Shivasri Gaurav Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. It's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada in the purport he mentions is that, that one must meditate on the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Now generally in India, many of you know, they go straight to the 10th canto, the intimate pastimes of Krishna. But here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions when he's talking about the pastimes of Krishna, one should remember the pastimes of Krishna on the battle of Kurukshetra. And remember the activities of devotees of the Lord. So this is not different. If we think of the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, like here he says, Pallava Maharaj, Juva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, who was a king. And Pallava Maharaj also, he was a king. So if we meditate on not only the pastimes of Krishna, but on the activities of the devotees, we also be purified. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, and I think it was in Mexico, he said, if we think of you, is it the same as thinking of Krishna? Will we go back to Godhead? Prabhupada said yes. So if we think of the pure devotee, it's none different than thinking of Krishna. So very interesting there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or maybe the Chaitanya Bhagavad, that Lord Chaitanya, he heard the pastimes of Juva Maharaj hundreds of times. So just like the pastimes of Krishna, they don't get old, so the pastimes of the pure devotees, they also don't get old. You can hear them over and over and over again. And this pastime of Juva Maharaj is, it's fascinating. Because he was, like a lot of people in this world, he was very ambitious. You know, after he was insulted by his father, he tried to get on the lap of his father, and his father wouldn't allow him on because he wasn't the son of his favorite queen. And his favorite queen was standing right there, and she even said to Juva Maharaj, you desire to get on the lap of the king, but your desire is futile. It's not possible because you did not take birth from my womb. If you want to go on the lap of the king, you have to take birth again from my womb. Then, the king. She was a little proud. A little over the top. So, the king, he was, you know, he was a little bit henpecked, so he didn't accept his son. And he wanted to displease his favorite queen. So Juva Maharaj, he's the son of a king, so he was furious. His lips were shaking. He was so angry. He went to his mother, and he said, "Father has not allowed me on the lap. My brother was on his lap, but he would not allow me on his lap because the queen said I was not born from her womb." But he's 5 years old. He didn't even know the difference between this mother and that mother. He didn't even know the difference. But then he found out. He found out in a horrific way that, oh, that's not my mother, this is my mother. So then his mother said, "What can I do? I'm not the favorite queen." So she was elected. But Juva, he was, you know, he was a powerful kshatriya, even though he was only 5 years old. He said to his mother, "I want to have a kingdom greater than that of my grandfather." Who was the grandfather of Juva Maharaj?
Lord Brahma. Very good, Krishna.
Very good. He's reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. He gets homeschooled. So he's up to the 8th canto now, I believe. Very nice. So he knows, he's absorbing. This is the way all the children in the world should be taught. Srimad Bhagavatam. Very nice. So he was determined to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And he has Brahmaloka. In the material world, there's nothing greater than that. So he asked his mother, "How can I attain this?" And previously, his stepmother said, "If you want this, then you should worship the Supreme Lord." So she did give him some good instructions. She was a little bit God-conscious, even though she was so proud. So his mother confirmed, "Yes, if you want to have such a thing,
must worship the Supreme Personality of God. And he said, well, where do I find him? And she said, well, great sages, they go to the forest. And then he went off. And she just thought he was going to go play or something. He's 5 years old. She didn't think that he would take this seriously and just go off into the forest. But right then and there, he left and he went to the forest. 5 years old. And in the forest, in India, you know, it's dangerous. There are tigers, snakes, all kinds of dangerous entities are in the forest. So, but he was so determined, he just went and he started meditating, trying to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. So one thing that's very interesting is that as soon as one desires to attain the God consciousness, Krishna in the heart, he knows this. So he sends a representative. Just like many of us, we were searching for the absolute truth. And somehow you got a book, or you got a devotee, or somehow you got that connection. Very common thing. So similarly with Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna inspired Narada Muni to go to Dhruva Maharaj. He's in the forest. There's a lot of forests. So Narada Muni goes right to where Dhruva Maharaj is meditating. And he says, my dear boy, what are you doing? What is this? You're a young lad. You're 5 years old. Why are you taking this so seriously? Don't take it so seriously. So someone insulted him. So what? You know, some people praise him. Somebody insults him. Don't take it so seriously. Go play. This is not for you. This is for people when they get older, you know, meditation and austerity. And Dhruva Maharaj said to Narada, thank you very much, Narada Muni, for giving me this instruction. But my heart will not accept. I'm a kshatriya. So please let me do as I'm doing. Don't bother me. Basically, he said. So then Narada Muni was impressed by this little child, he's determined. So he gave him a mantra. Who knows what the mantra was? What was the mantra? Very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Very powerful mantra. And that's why we chant it every day before we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Narada Muni gave this instruction and he chanted this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And within a short time, because he was so determined and he was very sincere. It wasn't just envy, he was actually sincere. So he was able to get the darshan of the Supreme Lord within his heart. And he was in ecstasy. So then he left the darshan of him in the heart and he went externally, he was able to. But immediately, you know, his eyes were closed and he disappeared. He couldn't see in the heart. He was a little disturbed. But then he opened his eyes and he saw the Supreme Lord is there. And he wanted to offer prayers, but he's 5 years old. He doesn't know anything about prayers. So then the Lord, he touched his head with a conch and he offered wonderful prayers. He could read the Srimad Bhagavatam, this young 5-year-old boy offered wonderful prayers to Lord Vishnu. But Dhruva Maharaj, he was a little disappointed in himself because he had approached the Supreme Lord with some material desire, big material desire. He was very fruit. He felt a little shame. So he says, Svanam, what is it? Svanam Katarsam. I was desiring a lump of glass, a pile of broken glass. Svamin Kutardosni Vanamani Gatri. But now, my dear Lord, you have come, the greatest jewel. So he compared this kingdom of Lord Brahma to be like broken glass. Interestingly. So when one becomes advanced in spiritual life, this whole world just doesn't appear attractive anymore. Just like broken glass. What is the value of broken glass? Nothing. You put it in the trash. Right? You just put it in the trash. There's no value. Maybe a glassmaker, you melt it down and use the glass for some other purpose. But this is the level of devotion that one can come to. And even higher than that, of course. So he became a very, very advanced devotee. And so advanced that Lord Chaitanya, he would hear this again and again and again and again. So the pastimes of Krishna are very attractive. And in Kurukshetra also. Very interesting. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had not gone on either side, the Kurus or the Pandavas. So it just happened that Arjuna and Duryodhana went to Krishna to ask him to be on their side. They went to Krishna at the same time. By the imagination of Krishna. Nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna. So Krishna, he was transcendentally resting, apparently sleeping. So Duryodhana thought, better I'm near his head, because then when he wakes up, he'll see me first, and then he'll ask what I want. But Arjuna is a devotee, so he thought, better I'm at his feet. So then after some time, Krishna transcendentally woke up. And he happened to see Arjuna first. So immediately Duryodhana was thinking, shoot. So then he said, oh, Arjuna, you're here. And then he said, oh, Duryodhana, you're here too. What's the occasion? And they said, well, you know, this battle is going to take place soon, and we just happen to come here at the same time, and we want you to be on our side, but you can't be on both of our sides. So Krishna said, well, I'm not going to fight, because it's a fratricidal war. I don't want to fight on either side. But if you want, you can have me anyway, but I won't fight. Or you can have my army. So Arjuna, I saw you first, so you can choose. You can either have me, or you can have my army. You can imagine how big Krishna's army is. Big army. Many akshavanis. Anybody remember how many? Huh? Anybody remember?
12.
Krishna says 12. I think he's right. But I'm not absolutely sure. So well, any 12 is big. That's a lot. Because this means thousands of soldiers and chariots and elephants. And
guest.
So many soldiers. Big army. So Arjuna, what does Arjuna say? Krishna, I'll take you. Because Arjuna knew Krishna. So Duryodhana was so happy. He didn't express his happiness. He didn't jump up and down in joy at that point. He was so happy. He was thinking, Arjuna must be nuts. Krishna's not going to fight, but he could have had his army. So Duryodhana was just jumping with joy inside. But Arjuna also was jumping with joy inside because he knew Krishna is more powerful than his army. So they both left very happy. So this is Krishna. He's able to satisfy everyone. Duryodhana left very happy. Arjuna left very happy. So then the battle's going on. It's going for some time. For some days. And Duryodhana goes to Bhishma. He says, Bhishma, I can understand that you're favoring the Pandavas because they have not even been scratched yet. And you're the greatest warrior on this battlefield. So Bhishma, he's a warrior. So he said, oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you now. Tomorrow, all the Pandavas will be killed with these five arrows. Now Duryodhana is really happy because that means tomorrow the war will be over and we win. So Duryodhana said, can I hold those five arrows for safekeeping? He said, yeah. So he had these five arrows. So Krishna told Arjuna that night. He said, Arjuna, Duryodhana, he owes you a favor. So tonight you go there and you accept the favor that he owes you. And Arjuna's like, what's all this about? He said, just trust me. Remember, I'm Krishna. If you don't do this, all of you Pandavas will be killed. And the thing that you have to ask for is five arrows. Because Bhishma has promised him that with those five arrows, he'll kill all of you. Okay. So that night he went bang on the door. Duryodhana is home. So Duryodhana opens the door and says, oh, Arjuna, he's coming. You see, in these Vedic wars, I don't know if you call it these, like you could say Kshatriya wars, when the sun would go down, the war was over for the day. And they would visit each other, and they would eat together and drink and joke. The opposite side, they would get together and have dinner together. Amazing. So he invited him in, and is there anything I can get for you? Duryodhana even said that, I'll give you the kingdom if you want it. The Prabhupada was speaking about this, and Arjuna said, no, no, I don't want the kingdom. And Prabhupada said, because Arjuna, he's not a sissy. He's not going to accept it as a gift. He's a kshatriya, you've got to fight for it. Kshatriyas don't accept gifts. So, no, I don't want it. I just want one favor. You owe me a favor. I just want one thing, and that those five arrows that you have. So Duryodhana immediately gave. He gave the five arrows. And then Arjuna left, and Duryodhana was lamenting again. The war is not over tomorrow. More fighting. So then they're fighting. The next day they're fighting. Or actually, no, Bhishma went the next morning and asked for the arrows. And Duryodhana said, oh, I said, why? You were going to keep them for safekeeping. Now you do not have the arrows. Arjuna came last night. I owed him a favor. He asked me for those arrows. I had to give him. And then immediately Bhishma understood. Krishna is behind this. So because Krishna has forced me to break my promise, I'm going to force him to break his promise. I'm going to kill Arjuna today, or Krishna will break his promise. One of the two will happen today. So news got out. There was no internet. But news got out, the whole battle killed, that Bhishma is after Arjuna. So all the warriors of the Pandavas, they got together. They're protecting Arjuna. They're fighting anything. They're trying to protect Arjuna. But Bhishma, he's a great warrior, so he broke through all the warriors. And at the end of the day, it's him and Arjuna, and they're fighting. And it's just getting to the point where Bhishma's going to kill Arjuna. And what does Krishna do? He grabbed the wheel, chariot, to use as a weapon to kill Bhishma. So Bhishma is standing up there, he's ready to die. You see that wonderful picture by Parikshit, I think Parikshit. So, what happened? He didn't die. Anybody know what happened? No? In the Mahabharata you'll find, as I mentioned, when the
Arjuna stopped Krishna?
Nope. That's what he said.
And also this Bhishma also surrendered in front of Krishna with standing there.
No.
Folding.
He did, no? More or less. Actually, just like I mentioned earlier, when the sun goes down, the battle starts. So just at that moment, just before Krishna was going to kill Bhishma, just at that moment, the sun went down. So the sun saved Bhishma. Otherwise, he would have been dead. That's why he wasn't killed. Now, Arjuna was begging. He's trying to stop Krishna. No, 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 Krishna, no, you're not supposed to fight. No, no, it's okay. I'll handle it. Don't worry. But no. Who was Arjuna? He can't stop Krishna. So the sun went down. That was it. So Krishna saved Arjuna, but he broke his promise. Right? He picked up a weapon to fight. So, in this way, he broke his promise, but he kept the promise of Bhishma. So more important than him keeping his promise was that Bhishma keep his promise. So one of two things happened. Either he was going to kill Arjuna, or Krishna was going to break his promise. Krishna broke his promise. Amazing, wonderful pastimes. And there's one pastime I read recently of the plural pastime of Krishna. Krishna was in Vrindavan and he saw the gopis, they were making some plural necklaces. And this is during Kartik, Dipali. And there was big festivals going on, all kinds of things happened. He saw them making these plural necklaces. And Krishna asked the gopis, Radharani and the other gopis, "Hello, can you give me some pearls? We want to make some pearl necklaces for our cows, my two favorite cows." He said, "No, I'm not going to give you our pearls that you can make necklaces for your cows. Go away. Go away. Don't bother us. We're doing service here." Oh, Krishna said, "Oh, mean-hearted gopis, please, just give us a few pearls. We'll make some nice pearl necklaces for the cows. You know, the cows are so important." "No, no, no, you go away, boys, go away." And Krishna said, "Oh yeah, we're going to make our own necklaces." So Krishna went to his mother. He said, "Mata, please, can you give us some pearls? We're going to grow pearls in our field so that we make pearl necklaces for our cows." And Mother Yasoda said, "Silly boy, you can't grow pearls. Pearls come from the ocean. They come from oysters. You can't grow pearls like you grow apples." "No, no, 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 Mother, I can do that. Please, you'll see. Give me some pearls. Please, give me some pearls. I'll grow them and some pearls will grow. You'll see." So Mother Yasoda is so enchanted by Krishna. Imagine just hearing Krishna speak. Particularly in the nectar of devotion, it's mentioned that one elderly gopi who was hearing Krishna speak to Nanda Maharaj when he was trying to convince Nanda Maharaj to not worship at Durga, but worship Govardhan Hill. And it was just like nectar coming out of the mouth of Krishna. So just to hear Krishna speak is just like, must be the most amazing thing. So Krishna convinced Madhya Soda to give some pearls. So Krishna, he had seen his father growing things in the agricultural field. So he got some of his friends together and they planted some pearls. You know, very orderly, you know, very nicely. You know. And they watered these pearls with milk. Thinking they'll get some really nice pearls, you know, with milk. So after 3 days of watering these pearls with milk, there were some sprouts. And they called over the gopis, "Look, look, Radharani and the gopis, look, look, the pearl plants are growing. We're going to get pearls, don't you see?" And they said, "No, those are just going to be thorn bushes. They're not going to be pearl trees, you silly boy." So then, "No, no, no, you'll see. In a few days, you'll see, we're going to have pearls." Then they went back. And sure enough, after 3 days, three more days, there was pearls. Pearls were growing out of the pearl tree. And they were different colors. And they were very fragrant. You could smell the generally pearls aren't fragrant to me. But these pearls were so fragrant, and so they were different colors, and they were, some of them were big, and some were small, and different sizes, just beautiful. So Krishna took a bunch of them, and he went to the gopis. You see, look at our pearls. Look at these pearls. Beautiful, aren't they? And they were like, wow, how did you do that? And Krishna said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I know you grew them. I know you grew them. So then they thought, we have to get some pearls too. Let's go to our mothers, get some pearls, and we'll also grow some pearls. They were a little upset with Krishna because he wouldn't give any pearls, but Krishna said, well, we asked you for some pearls, now you think we're going to give you pearls? What is this? So they went to their mothers, please, can you give us some pearls? We're going to grow some pearl trees. Oh, silly girls, you can't do that. And they didn't give any. So they snuck around and they got some anyway. They got some pearls from the parents. They planted them. But they thought, if we water the pearls with ghee and yogurt and milk, we're going to get bigger and better pearls. Krishna just watered his with milk. We're going to put ghee and yogurt also. They thought they'll get better pearls. So then, after a few days watering with milk and ghee, I mean water, using liquid ghee. So then they, after 3 days, they got some sprouts. And they called Krishna and said, look, Krishna, we have pearl trees, right? And Krishna said, no, they'll just be thorn trees. And then after 3 days, sure enough, thorn trees were growing. No pearls, not one pearl, just thorns. And they were thinking, why? Why is it that Krishna is able to grow, but we can't? Why can't we grow these pearls? And one of the ladies said, it's because Krishna chants mantras. That's how he lived in Govardhan Hill. He chants mantras. He knows these special mantras. We have to find out some of these mantras so we can also do this. So they went to some of the elderly gopis and said, do you know any mantras by which we can grow pearls? No, nothing. So they thought, well, maybe if we go to Krishna with some gold, we can get some pearls from him. So Radharani, as he told some of the other gopis, you go to Krishna with some gold and try to buy some pearls, you know, some of these nice pearls. So they went to Krishna and the cowherd boys and said, oh yeah, Krishna, can we give you some gold so you can give us some pearls? And Krishna said, gold, huh? Even one of these pearls has more value than the most stupid jewel of Lord Vishnu. And you want to give us gold? Gold. Yellow stool. What's gold? These pearls are so valuable. You can't imagine. So they were talking back and forth, trying to bargain. And Krishna said, well, if you bring Radharani, maybe we could work with that. And then it was told by one of those friends, actually, Krishna, she's here right now, and she's hiding, she's listening to the whole thing. Krishna said, so they were bargaining back and forth. And then Krishna decided, hey, maybe we'll work something out. And then he left. And he made all these boxes. One with Radharani's name and all the other gopis. Actually, Krishna, he made so many pearls from these pearl trees just to hear that Krishna's in there to steal her butter. You see, Krishna's makanchori, he steals butter. Why? To please the gopis. They love it. They love it. It's like the most amazing mucking short pastime was when Krishna was caught. One Mataji caught him with the butter in his hand. I caught you red-handed. Now you're in trouble. And Krishna's saying, "No, no, no, please, Mataji. I promise you, I'll never do it again. Please, please, never do it again. Please be merciful to me. Please don't take me to my brother. Please, I promise you, I'll never do it again." "No, no, no. You've been doing this for so long. Now I've caught you red-handed. You're going to get punished. Come on with me." So she's carrying Krishna to Madhya Soda, and she knocks on the door. "Oi, Madhya Soda, I've caught your boy stealing butter in my home. Please, you have to stop him from doing this. He's been doing it for so long, you have to punish him." So Mother comes to the door. "Oi, Madhya, what do you say? Your son here, he stole butter from my house. I've caught him. He has the butter on his hand. You have to punish him. He's been doing it for so long. I tried to catch him. I can't catch him, but now I've got him. Please, you have to punish him." So Madhya Soda looks down and says, "Mataji, I think you've been working too hard. You don't have Krishna in your hand. That's your own son." She looks down and says, "Ah! Where is Krishna?" "Mataji, it's okay. Go home. Take some rest. You've been working a little too hard. You know, it's okay." And she says, "Oh, Madhya Soda, I'm very sorry. Yeah, maybe I'm working too hard." She goes walking away with her son. Madhya Soda closes the door, and then Krishna turns back into Krishna. He looks up and he says, "If you ever do that to me again, I'm going to turn into your husband." And that's it. So these are some of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Now, none of us knew all these wonderful pastimes. There's so many unlimited pastimes of Krishna. So we want others to also learn about these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And what is the best way for people to learn about Krishna? Books. Yes, we have to distribute books. So now we had a nice meeting the other day about the monthly Sankirtan festival. Gopra Vrindesh Prabhu and myself will have a little discussion about how to get this going. Once a month, it's not very long. I'm sure Krishna will be there. He can show you how to distribute books. Every Harinam, he distributes books? Twice a week?
He tries.
Okay. Every Harinam, he goes on Tuesdays. Tuesdays, not Friday? Okay, Tuesdays, he goes there. So he'll teach you. So please, once a month, doesn't take that long, 2 or 3 hours. You know, the program is you have a nice prasad in the morning, you go out on book distribution, and even if you're not successful, still Krishna sees you, he's pleased. Just by your endeavor, he's pleased. So then you come back after Sankirtan and you have a feast. That's usually an attractive feature about the monthly Sankirtan festival. And you have exchanges, you have your realizations, exchange your experiences that you've had on book distribution. So, I have a flight this morning, so I'm going to stop now. And I hope next year when I come, I hear that the monthly Sankirtan festival is going on strong every month. And maybe there will even be some weekend warriors. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai.